The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Very often, at the beginning of the season of Lent, coming up when? March 1st. Good. As a spiritual practice, we give up something. Chocolate, pop, carbs. Sometimes I've heard that people give up something like watching TV or playing video games. That will send a shudder into our young people. Additionally, we often think of our tithe, the sharing of our time, talents, and treasures, as something that we give up. Tithing and fasting are both spiritual practices, and it is spiritual practices that today's Old Testament text addresses. We talk a bit about the Gospels, reading as well in that, but for now we will take some time to really look at just Isaiah. Now, as we focus on this Old Testament text, we need to think about a few things. First, let's think about those who first heard the words of Isaiah, because it's important to understand what this text was saying to those who first heard it. This might help us better understand what the text might mean to us today in our present context. Remember that those people that first heard Isaiah were those people that had been exiled. They were the same people that wandered around the desert for 40 years, sometimes praising God, sometimes murmuring, really complaining about Moses that they were following and whether or not he really knew what he was doing. And it may seem strange to hear this, but those who first heard the words of Isaiah were not Christians. In fact, when these words were first written down, there were no Christians. So before we try to imagine that these words are about Jesus somehow, we have to remember that Jesus was not born yet when the people first heard these words from Isaiah. These people are simply waiting for Messiah. The prophet Isaiah says this, "Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins." So this first part is encouraging the people to be actively telling others about what? Well, about their sin. And what is that sin? The passage continues, "Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness." This was probably a little uncomfortable for those who first heard Isaiah. As if? they were a nation that practiced righteousness, wouldn't the people be thinking, well, I am involved in many spiritual practices. I worship every day. What does it mean, as if the people practice righteousness? Well, Isaiah continues, why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day. It sounds like the author of Isaiah is trying to say that the sin here is about those that say and do things that are spiritual practices, fasting, humbling themselves. But he says that what they are doing is only serving themselves. Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day. And in the midst of serving their own interests, being selfish, really, they do not notice. And what are these people not noticing? Well, before Isaiah tells us what the people are not noticing, he tells us the fruits. A spiritual practice that really only serves person's own interests. He talks about those fruits. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. In other words, your spiritual practice gets you upset and angry. Therefore, it is done only to serve your own interests. And that thinking, we have deceived ourselves. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. This kind of fast, he says, is not pleasing to God. Now, in the form of a question, the author of Isaiah begins to point out what the people have not noticed. While the people were self-absorbed in their own dehumanizing religious practice. So the question, is not this the fast that I chose? To loose the bonds of injustice? To undo the thongs of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free? And to break every yoke? And if that's too ambiguous, the text points out exactly those who have not been noticed. Is it not to share your bed with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? In this passage, it is revealed that the fast, the spiritual practice, has all too often been about us. When all the while the spiritual practice is to help us see those that are really in need. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, I gave up chocolate or pop or video games or television for Lent, and then they describe to you how awful the experience is for them? I got headaches. I found myself waking up and thinking about sneaking some pop or chocolate. But I didn't cheat on my fast. I stayed faithful. I think I really learned what it is to have faith. This reading from Isaiah today points out that the person that would say these things has missed the most important point. And that is, when we fast, we get a glimpse of what it might be like to be the person who is so oppressed, they have nothing that they can give up. When we give a tithe and we worry about or try to justify the amount we have given, how will this amount that I give impact my week? Will I have enough to eat? Will I be able to buy those new clothes I would like to have? When the reality is that there are some who have nothing to give. They have no clothes. They have no home. There are some like that right here in this city. The passage in Isaiah says simply, when we think we are doing something for God, And in the midst of our actions, our thoughts are centered on us. We have missed the real reason for what we are doing. And that is to see those that God would have us feed, clothe, house. And not to hide yourself from your own kin. In other words, to make yourself available to those in need. We also might miss where God is taking us as a community. Where is God leading this group of believers so that we might proclaim the gospel to those outside these walls? Now, the good news for today echoes this passage from Isaiah. You are the salt of the earth. You are the ones called to be the difference of in life that is full of flavor. A life full of taste. Have you ever thought of yourself as the ingredient that will bring the full palate of taste to the lives of others? You are the salt of the earth. This week, February 2nd, they ran a movie all day long, over and over and over again. What was that movie? You Betcha. It's one of my favorite movies in the world. In this movie, very briefly, there's a guy who happens to be a weatherman that's sent to, I'm never going to say the town name, Puxtawney? Am I close? They send him there to do the story on the groundhog. We see it every year on the news, the real story. Whether the groundhog sees a shadow or not. And for some odd reason, he begins to relive that day over and over and over and over again. When we meet the character, he's pretty selfish. He's pretty self-absorbed. He thinks about what he wants. And even as he realizes that he's living this same day over and over and over again, he begins to try to figure out how to manipulate things to his favor. And it's not until the very end of the film, when he begins to care about somebody else before himself, that he understands that's not just one person that he might be thinking about, but it's the whole town that he begins to think about and to consider their needs before his own, before the cycle is finally broken and he can move on in his life. That smacks pretty close to home. You are the salt of the earth. We're now at the point, this is the next part of the Sermon on the Mount. We heard who were the blessed ones last week, who Christ is talking to. You, blessed ones. Christ continues that Sermon on the Mount today by letting you know. You are the salt of the earth. But if that salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? And is no longer good for anything. Our lives mean nothing if we remain on the shelf or if we withhold ourselves from mixing in with those that God would have us help and serve. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. And so we pray. Good and gracious God, we are nothing without you. As we praise your name, as we fast, as we tithe, help us to see those that you have surrounded us with and how we might help them. God, you make us salt, and you give us the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might be a light to others. Help us to shine with the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue with our service, please rise as you are able.